This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Chip Tam and football, that's what Pittsburgh does. What's up, everybody? Brian Batka with you. As always, from the Post-Gazette, one of our Steelers beat writers. Thanks for finding the show. Brought to you by Pella. No better place to get new windows and doors installed in your home than Pella, who can help you save on your energy costs year-round. Schedule a free in-home consultation with your local Pella Windows and Doors to find the right product for your home and budget. Give them a call at 866-593-1560 to discuss your project further. That's 866-593-1560 to get started planning on your new windows and doors installation with Pella Windows and Doors of Pittsburgh. Today on the show, our guest will be Seth Walter, ESPN analytics expert. Going to get into some Steelers offseason talk, maybe see if Steelers on Hard Knocks piques his interest at all from a national perspective. So yeah, should be a fun show with Seth. Thanks a lot to him for joining us. We'll get to him right on the other side of this. And there he is now, Seth Walter, ESPN analytics guru, expert, extraordinaire, specialist, really all great words for what Seth does over at ESPN. How's it going, man?
It's going great. How are you? Happy offseason.
Yeah, I'm doing well. The offseason has really begun in earnest for the beat writers and the national folks like yourself. Steelers just wrapped up mini camp last week, so we're in full-on content lull mode, but we did get some good news here in Pittsburgh on Monday. The NFL will be choosing the Steelers and the rest of the AFC North division for their in-season Hard Knocks. And, we'll get to, you just had a great, very in-depth piece that went online Tuesday about this, every NFL team's offseason, how you graded them, what you liked, what you didn't necessarily like. We're going to get into that, but I wanted to lead with the Hard Knocks stuff because I know you're a Hard Knocks fan. I've seen you tweeting about that. You enjoy the show. You enjoy that slice of NFL viewership. Do the Steelers pique your interest as someone who follows every team, or are you kind of just like these in-season Hard Knocks are they're kind of grasping at straws at this point with a little bit of oversaturation on the show?
I cannot get myself into the in-season. I mean, listen, I do love Hard Knocks. It's like always has a place in my heart when you hear that little music, right? The little da na na na. It really there's a certain wakes up the football in me. But to me, in season, I'm watching a lot of actual football. I'm like, my week is already consumed by football, and it's just not when I need it. Like training camp, oh yes, I want
it's that. Supplements, yeah.
Right. The off season one. Okay, I can in season, I have a hard time getting into it. Here's what I think. This is for all of the Hard Knocks. Now that there's all the many iteration, my frustration last year is like trending to the show needs conflict. All of these sports documentaries, they need to have conflict. Like one of the reasons why Drive to Survive worked so well was because it had conflict. Or early Hard Knocks, I mean, not early, like most Hard Knocks shows have conflict or antagonists, and like you have to have it. It can't just be like 4 consecutive hours of Aaron Rodgers is wonderful, which is what we got last year, and they ignored entire storylines. Like, I'm hoping that in the Giants one, are they going to talk about like the team trying to get rid of, like, not have Daniel Jones be their quarterback? Because if not, then we're really not getting the story.
Yeah, I'm sure the decision makers there from the Giants franchise are probably going to want to water that down to some degree. And, the Steelers have been one of the last holdouts to ever have the show. I don't necessarily think they would want that distraction around them, but this will be interesting because it will be with every team in the division as they're battling it out for that AFC North crown. So nobody can really complain about, hey, we're the ones with the camera crew following us around all the time. But yeah, at least we'll finally get a kind of a glimpse inside the Art Rooney, Mike Tomlin machine here. And they'll do it with an overhauled roster, you know, to get into the offseason moves. You know, I can't imagine another team out there swapped out their entire quarterback room this offseason. So they've literally infinite amount of turnover with Kenny Pickett, Mitch Trubisky, Mason Rudolph gone, Russell Wilson, Justin Fields in. You know, what? Without giving too much away from your insider deep dive there, Seth, what did you make of the Steelers offseason? What do you feel like they've improved going into 2024? And what are you still a little bit skeptical of based on Omar Khan's moves?
So let's start with the quarterbacks, because I think it makes sense. I really like what they did at quarterback. And I'm not, it's not to say that, I mean, I don't really think either of those guys are going to be the answer for Pittsburgh in the long term, but ultimately they took two virtually no risk moves that are just like pure great value. So whoever got Wilson, no matter what you think of Wilson, right? He probably like an average to a shade below average starter last year. Because of the nature of the contract that you were going to be able to get him for a minimum salary deal for this year, he was going to be a value to whoever was able to convince him to sign. And so for Pittsburgh, that's just like an easy win. Even if he were your backup quarterback, like no matter what, it's an easy win. That's a great move. And then Fields, I say this as someone that has been down on Justin Fields basically his entire time in the NFL because – well, for a variety of reasons, but it doesn't matter. I was very surprised that he only went for a sixth round pick. And the fact that Pittsburgh was able to make that move to me is a nice pairing with the Wilson move, because it's like, I'm not that sympathetic to the arguments, which are like that Fields still has some upside, but maybe he does. Like, he was surrounded by decent players in the end in Chicago, but I think you could say, well, hey, with a coordinator change, could you unlock this? Like, maybe there's a non-zero chance. So you take this very small risk on Fields, and I was shocked at the price. I think they're both low enough. I don't think this will actually happen, but like, they're both low enough that it is totally feasible that if there's an injury in August, that either one of them could be flipped for a profit for Pittsburgh. And so like, if you're doing that, like, That kind of move, that just tells you that you've made good decisions. And so they're both players that it's just worth doing what Pittsburgh did. And I do think they deserve credit for that, especially the Fields one, which is like, they didn't jump out as a team that like had to make that move after they'd signed Wilson. But they did take advantage of the opportunity.
Yeah. They were really two financially prudent moves by Omar Khan this offseason. And it feels like that's sort of quickly becoming a hallmark of the way he operates as a GM. I mean, you know, he turned down Najee Harris's fifth-year option despite, you know, 3,000-yard seasons, but running back position, how much do you really want to commit and invest in that guaranteed? You know, hasn't been throwing out extensions willy-nilly around here. I know one move you didn't necessarily agree with from the Steelers' perspective was the Diontae Johnson trade to Carolina and getting Dante Jackson back in exchange, but I think the dollars and cents of it was they didn't necessarily love the cap hit that Johnson was going to have this year. And I think it was a near certainty that after his regression, they weren't going to extend him again. So they've made some sort of cold calculating financial decisions. Are you surprised at all that that's how Omar Khan's been running things since taking over the keys to the ship from Kevin Colbert?
I mean, not really. I think it makes sense. And I think any move across any team from a front office standpoint, you really have to evaluate it in like relative to the finances involved. And so I think that's just how every team at least ought to be operating. I'm curious about the Diontae Johnson thing you mentioned though, because like Dante Jackson's contract is basically even, I think.
They had him restructure. So I think they sort of had Jackson basically like, hey, take a little bit of a pay cut to be with the defense here. But yeah, I mean, it was a move that when it was made in a vacuum on paper, didn't really make sense. But I think there had also been some indications Johnson had worn out his welcome here, so to speak, over the last couple of years.
That's fair. To me, though, it's just like the upside of Johnson is still a lot higher than what they got back in Jackson. I'm not saying like a solid corner and all that, but Johnson, when you look at our player tracking metrics, so they suggest that for years, in fact, that Deontay Johnson is one of the best receivers at getting open. And that's something that we measure whether or not the player is targeted. And so I do think that there is what it's been telling us is perhaps that he has been getting open at a rate that maybe more often than you would think based on how often he gets the ball.
Right.
And it's not to say he's a perfect receiver, a complete receiver, but that is a really critical skill set and a hard one to find. And the fact that they lost him, like, left a hole in that area for them. And yeah, we knew going into this year that it was a deep receiver class and all of that. But to me, that's a concern. It's not the end of the world. The Steelers aren't, they're not a Super Bowl contender right now. So you don't have to think about only 2024 if you're talking about them, but it does leave a hole there. And I would think twice about losing a guy like Deontay Johnson. I think it was a very nice move for Carolina, who really lacked that kind of player and was able to pick him up.
Well, somebody listening just flipped their table when you said they're not a Super Bowl contender. Obviously, that's always the prism that Steelers fans view success with this franchise. Granted, a lot of them would just like to see Mike Tomlin lead this team to a playoff win for the first time in 7 years, let alone a run at a Lombardi trophy. But yeah, I mean, I think that is the interesting catch 22 of it for Omar Khan. Every decision he's making right now, trying to balance that. We've got guys like Cam Hayward and TJ Watt and Minkah Fitzpatrick in their, you know, either on the downswing or in their primes at the moment. We've got Russell Wilson on this ridiculously unprecedented cheap deal for him. Why can't we push our chips in the middle? But at the same time, got to be realistic about the division you're in, the conference that you're in. And I'm glad we went down the avenue of the void at receiver for the Steelers, because I mean, yes, on one hand, you hope somebody like Calvin Austin can step up. You hope Roman Wilson can step up as a rookie, but Steelers fans are one of, I guess, maybe several team fan bases who are clamoring for a Brandon Ayuk deal to happen here. Is he a guy, Seth, who you think is worth the team giving up a lot of compensation and then doubling down on that and giving him the hefty extension that he wants? Or is he maybe a good player? I'm not saying he's not good. He's clearly a good player, but has he had his profile inflated a little bit by being in that system with Kyle Shanahan calling the shots?
I think Ayuk is an exceptional player. And I think that while there are elements to what you're saying, which is true, which is that you play in a Shanahan offense, it's like by definition going to be efficient. That's going to lead to some plays that maybe you wouldn't have gotten in other offenses. I think also at the same time is worked the other way. San Francisco last season, when he played really, really well, San Francisco was leading in a lot of games where they stopped throwing the ball because there was no need to. And so from a raw yardage total, I think his yardage was in some ways deflated by the team he was on because of that. And that's like living in a world where a team has like a slew of other weapons as well.
Sure.
I mentioned a receiver tracking metric, Johnson. I mean, there's probably no one those numbers love more than Brandon Ayuk. So, yeah, if you're gonna bring him in, I am like in a vacuum, I endorse it. Now, to trade draft capital for the right to pay someone, I think is usually a mistake. And so, if you said to me, if you were the Steelers right now and you were to give a future one for the right to pay Ayuk a market value deal, I would not do that. You're still not a Super Bowl contender with Brandon Ayuk in 2024. And that is, I mean, a first round pick is a ton of value. Like, we're talking about these in the financial sense. First round pick is a ton of value to then pay the right to pay market price for someone. And I think there are situations where that can make sense. I don't think it makes sense for Pittsburgh in this spot.
You think the Niners are going to move him?
I don't, because I just think he's too good. But I mean, if it were me, I would be looking to move Deebo Samuel if I were the 49ers. Like, I'd be much more worried about, he's older, first of all, and I'd be much more worried about how his skill set ages. at the same time, like the rest of the league knows that too. And so perhaps the compensation isn't there as well. And so for all of these players, it depends on like what the price is in terms of how much you're giving up. But yeah, if I were San Francisco, like, do I think it happens? I don't know. I mean, I just come back to like, he's the kind of player I would want to keep. I very much am in a Super Bowl window. And I think you can definitely say we're overinvested at wide receiver, but then Samuel's the guy that we ought to divest from.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I think they're a really smart, savvy organization. So I'm never going to discount that there's another shoe to drop or John Lynch is simply playing the game right now. And, you know, almost like the Ravens with Lamar a couple off seasons ago, it seemed like irreconcilable for a while there. And then lo and behold, you know, all the chickens came home to roost and everyone's happy now. So I'm not discounting that for Ayuk and the Niners, even if it seems like he's down bad at the moment on TikTok, FaceTiming Jaden Daniels or whatever. But the one thing I wanted to pick at there, Seth, is you saying, even if they get Ayuk, the Steelers, that you still don't think they'd be a Super Bowl contender. You must be pretty down on the quarterback situation, I'm guessing, to say that, and not necessarily down on it, but again, relative to being in an AFC North with Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow and the ever-present possibility that Deshaun Watson will resurrect himself. And beyond that, being in a side of the NFL with Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Justin Herbert. And I think your offseason grades, if I'm not mistaken, Browns, Bengals, Steelers, Ravens were all pretty similar. And it seems to be smart organizations doing smart things trickling down to strong rosters across the board, which makes it tough for a team like the Steelers to kind of climb the ladder and get back into it.
You're totally right. It's not that there's a lot to like of what Pittsburgh has going on. I am down on the quarterbacks just from a standpoint of like what's reasonable expectation. I think reasonable expectation is that you get a below average, like worse than 16th quarterback play. And if it goes well, then you get somewhere in the order of average. And is this like a roster that can take an average QB past all of the teams that you just mentioned? I don't see it. I just don't think
the listeners want me to pound the table and say, yes, yes, it is. Look at our defense. It's going to be top five. And look at our rebuilt offensive line. But yeah, I hear you. That's the funny thing about the
offensive line to me, that is another part though, because rookies. So yeah, you invest in the offensive line in the draft and great, but, and I've done some research on this, rookie starters, even if we only look at rookies who start, even if we only look at first round rookies who start, they are below average players in their first year. And there's a lot of guys who are below average in their first year and go on to be good. I mean, like Andrew Thomas was really bad his first year. Now he's one of the best tackles in football. And so if you were expecting Fautanu to be like a stalwart right tackle or something right away, that's just not a reasonable expectation. Yeah, okay, it could happen. Sometimes you can beat the odds on that front, but I think that that is an area that can hold them back as well.
Yeah, that's a very fair point for sure. It's a matter of, I think, people believing that this defense is finally going to reach its potential again, that need to stay healthy. Every team needs to navigate those waters. I think a lot of people out there also think anybody would be a huge upgrade over Matt Canada as the offensive coordinator. We'll see what Arthur Smith has up his sleeve in that regard. He's another guy who needs to be rejuvenated at this point in his NFL career based on what happened in Atlanta. And, you know, before I let you out of here, Seth, I guess I'll just get your big picture thoughts. We're a month and change away from training camps open. Where do you kind of see the Steelers slotting in among the AFC North, and who will we be, watching most intently when Hard Knocks comes to town and is chronicling that final stretch of the season?
Ooh, good question. I think for all the reasons that I mentioned, I will, with hesitation, put them fourth in the AFC North. I think that, yeah, look, the defense could burn me here because...
Hey, your objectivity is appreciated. That's why we have the national experts on the show.
The defense could burn me here. Look, there's no question you have this pass rush. I think Joey Porter Jr. is really good, and I would, I like, buying all the stock I can in him. I think that Patrick Queen's like a real big question mark, but they really didn't pay that much for him. So like there's upside there. So like that all scares me, but I think there's a lot to like about the other teams in the AFC North. And that's really the crux of it, where you have Baltimore with some questions too, but they're obviously coming off a season with which they were one of the best teams in football. I think that Cleveland, while I'm down on Watson, I think they were a team that should have traded for Fields. While I'm down on Watson, I think everything around him is really good and that could pan out. It's a really interesting division. I'll put it that way. But if you're making me pick, I'm picking Steelers fourth.
Okay. Well, never a losing season under Mike Tomlin, obviously, as we know, but also they've been hovering right around that 10-7, 9-8, even 8-1 territory, really since the late stages of Ben Roethlisberger's tenure here in Pittsburgh. So thanks so much to Seth Walter from ESPN.com for joining us. Anything else you want to plug or promote before I end the show here, Seth?
No, just my story that Brian mentions up on ESPN.com, and I'm sure there's other things I'm forgetting, but check it out. Read some other teams besides the Steelers.
Absolutely. You've got all offseason
near to other teams.
Yeah, I was going to say, when you do a story like that, I'm sure there's plenty of angry fans and fan bases in your mention, because that's what I was going to say earlier. It's always so funny. I mean, you grade teams off seasons, or even a beat writer like me. I know you used to cover the Jets as a beat writer. Like, you look at your own team's off season and you're like, yeah, on paper, all these moves make them better. But this is the NFL. Every team is getting better each off season. They're jettisoning the old overpriced players and drafting new high potential players. And it's all relative to the rest of the league, unless you've got someone out there just abjectly tanking, which we rarely see anymore, you know, under the shield. So, all right. Well, thanks so much, Seth Walter from ESPN. I'm Brian Badko. Appreciate everybody checking us out here on the Chip Tamman Football Show from the Post Gazette. We will be back with more content all off season, another North Shore Drive podcast on Wednesday and throughout the rest of the week. We'll see you guys next time.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post Gazette Sports. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all of the sports coverage the Post Gazette has to offer, visit post-gazette.com.